Welcome to Strong Black Legends, the show where we give flowers to the legends of film and television, brought to you by Netflix and Strong Black Lead. I am your host, pre-Source Awards winner Tracy Clayton. It's a deep cut for some of y'all I know. Google it. It's worth it. Y'all already know what time it is. I know y'all know about Margaret Avery, but what y'all know about Margaret Avery?
But I gravitated when I read it. It was like, to me, I felt shook, but I really thought they meant silly. So that showed me that people see you differently than you see yourself.
So I would like to begin this episode with a story, if I may. This is a true story that I have actually lived through. So travel with me, if you will, back to the 99 and the 2000, okay? I and two of my oldest black girlfriends, right, are freshmen at the smallest, whitest school that you have never heard of, which is where we all met, right? It's Black History Month, and of course, if anybody's going to do something black on a campus with only three black people, the black people are probably going to do it. So we decided that we would do something fun, right? Because we knew that we would need a cultural icebreaker. There are people on this campus who had never met a black person in real life before, like really. And so we're like, you know, movies are a common language that we have. So we'll do a movie night once a week in Black History Month, and we'll just share a movie that we love as black people, right? One of the films that we all instantly said we have to show was The Color Purple, and I was so excited. First of all, purple's my favorite color. But also, The Color Purple is one of my favorite movies, is one of everybody's favorite movies that I know. So I'm like, we gotta do The Color Purple justice. I stayed up for I don't know how long in the computer lab making flyers on Microsoft Word, because it's all I had, and I was an English major, it's all I knew how to do. And so then I was like, okay, this is how we're gonna get the whites in here in these seats, because they love good graphic design, right? Right, got them in there. So we papered the whole campus with these beautiful grade A flyers made by yours truly. We are in the dorms, in the courtyards, just trees, I don't know, everywhere. So the day gets here, right? It's time for us to solve racism and share this movie, our favorite movie, with our campus mates. And nobody shows up except for the people who planned it. But honestly, that was actually a blessing in disguise, because I think that's what we all needed at that point, especially as black women, because being the only fly in the buttermilk is always hard, but especially when you're 18. So we really needed like a safe space, like just the feeling of watching a familiar movie with people who understood what I was seeing and like they saw it the same way. It felt like your favorite blanket or like your favorite comfort food, because like this is one of those movies that becomes an event. That, friends and family, brings us to today's guest, who is the one and only Margaret Avery, a.k.a. Suge Avery, a.k.a. who I want to be when I grow up, a.k.a. who I need to be when I grow up. Margaret Avery has an amazing resume, and I'm talking about like hit after hit after hit, including but not at all limited to Hell Up in Harlem, The Return of Superfly, White Man's Burden, Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins, Meet the Browns, Sanford and Son, Miami Vice, The Jacksons, and American Dream. Talked about that one before. Single Ladies and Being Mary Jane, among others. I hope that you enjoy this conversation.
Please have a seat. Get comfy.
I will.
Join me.
I love your red.
Thank you. I love your yellow and your
Thank
everything.
You. Thank you. I might sing like a canary.
Ooh, I might join you very terribly. Apologies in advance. So I would actually love to start by talking about the roles that you've played But I'm really curious, like, what is a role that you have not played yet that you're dying to play that you would just love to get into?
I'd like to play the corporate woman that's just really a real bee.
Now, why is that? Do you feel a connection to such a character?
Because I'm always the sweet person, you know. Mm-hmm. And in actuality, the people who are the sweetest, really, mm-hmm. play the best villains, really. Mm. And the people that you think are sweet.
Would you like to name some names either now or later?
No, I won't do that.
That's fine.
But I mean, people who play those villains, I mean, really, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a total transfiguration, and I would mm-hmm. love to do that.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do sweet people make the best B-words?
I don't know. Huh. I don't know. The same thing as they say that real gay people can't play gay.
I've never heard that before.
I've heard it, but...
Interesting.
You know, that's generally, but mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's not, I mean, I'm not saying everyone.
Right. But just like
but
in general.
As far as what I would like to play, you mm-hmm. know, and I do this on stage because I don't get to do it in film. Mm-hmm. Whenever you get in, you know, the word pigeonholed, mm-hmm. once you get pigeonholed, known for something, they just keep, they meaning the networks, they mm-hmm. want to be safe and try this. And I love comedy. I started out doing comedy.
Did you? Like stand-up?
Yes. No, not stand-up, but just doing comedy and working with Richard Pryor. I was into comedy, mm-hmm. and that's improvisational because it's like with him, you just have to go with it. Mm-hmm. But once Color Purple came out, forget it.
Really?
All drama. Because every time there's a series that comes up that's for comedy, mm-hmm. they go with who's safe, who's done it before.
Right.
You know,
right.
Nobody wants to take a chance. So,
Have you considered writing your own role?
You know, I don't write.
You know who does?
You write?
I mean, I'm just putting it out there. Just,
hey, girl.
Just in case.
Hey, that's doing? Okay. Let's network.
So, let's do that. So you're going to play a real bee in the future.
Oh, I would love to.
Yes. In the past, you've played, especially pre-Color Purple, you have like a bunch of different roles that you played.
Blaxploitation films.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about those.
Okay.
So you were in Cool Breeze, which is a Blaxploitation remake of The Asphalt Jungle. Mm-hmm. And recently, I've been thinking about Blaxploitation a lot for two reasons. One, there's this amazing, hilarious movie called Black Dynamite. Have you seen that?
No.
You should watch it. It's a spoof of the Blaxploitation movies, but like in a way
so
that
it's
is...
So it's a recent one or it's...
It came out within like the last 10 years, I'll say.
Oh, okay. So it's not the real... Black...
right.
We did everything in one take, boy, because that was a budget.
Mm. I mean,
as actors, we prayed that there would be some kind of a lighting problem or a sound problem,
so we could do it again.
Mm. But because we were, most of us were trained actors from stage, so we could do it in one take. Ah. But that helped me when I finally got a break and went into television, mm-hmm. because television moved so. Episodic TV, you know, mm-hmm. and you didn't get much direction other than, okay, on this line, move here, you know, mm-hmm. and say this line over here.
Right.
And that was about it.
Mm. So I'm very interested now to see, like, what were some other differences between being on the set of a Blaxploitation movie and being on the set of Something Evil, which you did with a guy named Steven Spielberg, I think.
Yes. Biggest difference, good food.
Wow. What were they feeding y'all?
You could always tell. Once I started doing commercials, you could really tell, okay, what's the classic commercial and what's not, by what they had to give you to eat. Good grief.
I mean, was it like, because stereotypically, of course, I'm like, well, hell up in Harlem, y'all had like collard greens, cornbread. No?
I don't know. No.
I don't know, whatever.
Well, but you know, it was the white folks that were feeding us,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there weren't many blacks in the unions to do all these different things, okay? You mm-hmm. got to remember, this is like 35, 40 years ago.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you had to eat their cooking.
I think that this is my favorite story about why representation in every part of the world is important, like, even in, like, the unions. Like, have somebody there who can cook the right food, you know? Like,
yeah,
we need brown people
everywhere.
The difference between blaxploitation and something evil, well, something evil was television. Mm. And so you got good food. And it was a very small part, but I was just really kind of just starting out. I was just glad to be working. And it was the first time sounding like a white girl worked for me.
Mm, interesting. Singing.
I think it was dun, 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 dun. I was, the scene is I'm in a sound, in a music studio.
Uh-huh.
And somebody says, I think they said, can you sound a little more black? Wow. They say that or something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah, I've heard.
But when he interviewed me for Color Purple, mm-hmm. I reminded him. I said, you know, I've worked for you before years ago on Something Evil. And he says, is that right? Oh. And the next interview I had with him for Color Purple, don't ever lie to a director or anybody. He went home, pulled out that...
Did he?
Film, and the next interview, and he says, you're right.
That is good to know.
So because clean up those resumes now. Don't lie.
Yes, life tips.
So his direction was very specific, mm-hmm. and that was the difference, really, with working with him, that he's a director that I got to know him as a director who really appreciates and understands actors. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm sure he's gone to New York many, many times just to see theater.
Mm.
And what I loved about working with him is that he knows exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
And in doing Color Purple, I knew I could trust him because he would go up to one of the actors that was actually shooting a scene, mm-hmm. and he'd whisper something in their ear. And the very next tape, be just what? Like that. It was magic.
What
and
sorts of things would he, like, did he ever come and whisper to you? What did he say?
I remember him saying, do you remember when you were a kid and you walked into a candy store for the first time?
Mm.
You know, and I guess it worked.
That is fascinating.
You know, but that I loved about him.
Mm-hmm.
Today, mm-hmm. I wish directors would study acting so they would understand the process, mm-hmm. because the networks now, they expect you to do everything just like that, mm-hmm. overnight. I mean, we used to get an episodic television script 3-4 days before.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like I'm getting an email from my agent at 7 o'clock at night for 11 o'clock more meeting the next morning.
That is
they
insane
want you to
and
have
absurd.
It. They want you to have it memorized. So as an actor, you've got to figure out, okay, and they don't give you the script,
uh-huh.
okay?
What?
So you just have no these pages. Everybody's so paranoid. Somebody's going to steal my script. So, I mean, you don't, as an actor, you learn a lot from what other people, other characters are saying about your character as well as what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't enable the richness of a performance that you would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think TV directors understand that, you know, when you do a film, you've had the script quite a while.
Right, right.
So don't compare an overnight last minute thing.
Totally different.
And also, I mean, I say this about the NAACP, I really, and they probably will just take away my membership, but I think it's so unfair to lump TV shows with film shows.
Mm-hmm. Like in awards shows?
In other words, don't put best actress from a TV show and a film in the same category, because we don't have the script that long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're talking about... memorizing lines so fast.
Yeah.
And they may even change them that day. But with a film, you've got the time to memorize and to really study. Plus, you've got how many takes? Mm. If it's an A film, with Color Purple, we had 17 takes.
Golly.
Stephen would have to tell me, Margaret, it's okay, slow down. Mm. Because I came in from television,
right.
You know, and blaxploitation films, you didn't take that much time. If you learned your lines and you did the character, that was it. Next, boom.
Golly.
Because that's the kind of schedule. Uh-huh. But with television, a lot of shows now were shooting 8, 9, 10 pages a day compared to a film that's 3 pages a day.
Wow.
Give me a break, NAACP.
Yeah, give her a break, NAACP.
I agree.
So you mentioned earlier that you really trusted Steven Spielberg on this out of The Color Purple.
Would love to work with him again.
Hello, Steven. I'm sure you're listening to this. What? So a thing that I wondered and that I always wonder about white people being involved in helping to tell black stories, like you would have to like trust that. You know, he knows enough about the culture and the aesthetic and et cetera, et cetera. And I know that there are some projects where I'm just like, okay, you can tell, like, you know, it's black, but you can tell that, like, a white person, like, wrote this. You know what I mean?
I think with Color Purple, it was really, even though it was a black story, it was a universal story.
Yes, for sure.
It dealt with issues that every culture can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That was brought to my attention when I had the ability, the opportunity to do the PR for Color Purple throughout Europe.
Oh, wow.
And we did these openings for dignitaries and the very elite people. And these women would come out with tears in their eyes because they could relate.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just amazed that every country we went to, all over Europe, and these women were coming out with just bloodshot eyes.
Yeah, wow.
And when I was in Paris, I heard that at that time, we're talking about 35 years ago, when you got your telephone bill, there were no telephone numbers that you called. And that was because the husbands didn't want the wives to know who they were calling.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's how rooted this some cultures are about the male dominance.
Yeah, for sure. Do you find that same sort of thing plays out very heavily in the acting world? Like,
no, well, as far as comparison with men and women, I think there's still a pay difference.
Oh, for sure.
You know, for sure there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I hear that the leading lady's getting a lot of money and she's of color, I just love it. I say,
yes,
thank you.
Yes, more, there's some please.
But I remember Meryl Streep saying that when she did Out of Africa with Robert Redford, she had gotten all the Academy Awards, but he got the money.
Wow.
So hopefully that's changing.
Going back to The Color Purple for a second, earlier I'd asked about, you know, being able to trust Spielberg to make a film like that, that is not just a black film, but, you know, centers blackness and black people. What did it mean to you as an actor, as a black actor, as a black woman? What did it mean to you that a white director wanted to bring this particular movie to the mainstream and tell this particular story? Like, what did it mean? What did it feel like?
Well, when I read the script, I knew that it, because like I said before, it's a universal theme. And with all the sets and the costuming and, you just needed a good director. And I think that he gave it that feeling. Now, he had said that there are 2 points here. One, there was a lot of controversy about him being a white man directing it. But they have to understand that Quincy Jones, shopped that project all over the studios. No one wanted to do it. And we didn't have any black directors that were strong. I mean, we didn't have John Singleton and all the people that have come up at this time. None of them were around that the studio would give a green light to. So Steven was the only one that said, okay, I'll do it. So it's because of him that it was even done that day. So all of you who were upset about that, that's the deal. So be quiet. The other point is, we also got static from the gay population because we didn't emphasize the relationship mm-hmm. between Seeley and Suge.
Uh-huh. And it was in the book.
And Stephen also gave someone, an actual gay person, female, the opportunity to write. Mm. And but her slant on it was very, very gay. And he felt that at that time, now you got to go back 35 years.
It was a different world then.
He said that if we made it too gay, gotten into that part of the book, mm-hmm. then it would only show in artsy films, theaters. It wouldn't be a commercial product. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think he was right. Success. Now, if it was today, you know, maybe it could be a totally different script, more into, you know, Suge and Seeley. Yeah. They get into it a little more in the play.
Yeah.
The theater. So
this wild idea just popped in my head, and I don't know how I feel about it. But when you were talking about, having to make a movie that left out certain parts like that, you know, I know that it was necessary then. Today, so much, right?
Yeah.
What would you think about somebody remaking The Color Purple, like the movie? Like, I was like, oh, it would be really cool to see, like, you know, to have, like, their relationship more emphasized.
Sure.
But also, don't touch The Color Purple, you know? Like, don't do that. Like, what would you think about that?
It would give people work. So, yeah. I mean, that's okay. I mean, it's like, everybody, it's like, if you see an incident, you'll tell the story, and then it'll be totally different when I tell the story. We all see something, the same thing, differently. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mind seeing it in a different light. And also, too, you've got to know that 4 hours was cut from the film.
Really? I didn't know that.
4 hours.
Where's the footage? I want it.
Well, you know, Steven. who's gonna show 4 hours? So I was told, Stephen said that he cut the film with tears in his eyes.
Oh, my
because
gosh.
Because all of that business with Seeley and Mister, mm-hmm. you see that they shot that relationship coming back together and her making the pants for him. Mm-hmm. And
Miss Seeley's folks pants.
And there was a lot there, but, you know, you can't show everything. You've got to decide.
Right,
you can't go a little here and a little there. You've got to just make up your mind. Yeah. What's your through line going to be? Mm-hmm. And I have to understand that as an actress, because I've been cut out of a lot of stuff. Mm. And I think, okay, Eagle, stop it. You know, you got to think like the director, you know.
Right, right, right.
Next time I want to do enough stuff so they can't cut much.
Once again, Stephen, I hope you're listening. I'm sure you are.
But I didn't get, in that film, I didn't get cut.
Yeah, good. So now I don't have to fight Stephen. That's awesome. You mentioned Q earlier, as you called him, Mr. Quincy Jones. Of course, my favorite scene from The Color Purple, and I cannot sing, so I apologize in advance, but I'm going to sing it to you right now. Sister, you've been on my mind. And scene.
Sister, you've been on my mind. Ow, sister. And the credit goes to a 5-foot bombshell, Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Her name is Tata Vega. Mm-hmm. She did the singing for me.
Yeah. Why was that?
Well, if you remember that God's Trying to Tell You Something, she just sang that out of the park. I could not have done that. I'm not a gospel singer. Mm-hmm. I'm really more pop and jazz. And I've done Sister in my nightclub act, but I could never have done God's Trying to Tell You Something.
I see.
So, and Q is a music man, so he knew.
Man.
And indeed. Tata Vega, she made it rock. I mean, you know, when I go through that church, you know, and we're in yellow.
God is. Yes, I love it. Did you know at that time that you were a part of something so big? Like, the song and, like, just the movie?
Oh, we knew it was special. Yeah. We knew it was special. Mm. You know, particularly me coming out of blaxploitation films. Yeah. And then television with the way it moves. But we all wanted to please Alice Walker. Mm. We wanted her to be proud.
Was she like around the set?
She was.
Oh, and my gosh.
Well, not all the time, mm-hmm. but it seemed to be just when I was shooting.
Mm. Of course.
I thought, oh my God, I hope she liked that. And I hope, oh wow. But everyone just felt the love of the story, mm-hmm. and we all tried to do our personal best, because mm-hmm. that was my first A film.
Yeah.
It was Whoopi's first film at all.
Imagine it being like your first. Like,
it was so Oprah's first film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Danny was really the one that really had been doing films, mm-hmm. you know, and it was Stephen's first dramatic film.
Wow.
So we all had our own personal pressures, mm-hmm. you know. I look back and I think, oh, I wish I had enjoyed it more. But mm-hmm. I gained 30 pounds for the role in 30 days.
Oh, my first thought was, that sounds hard. And then I was like, it's not hard.
now it isn't, yeah. But back then, and I thought, but I had sense enough to know I'll never have this opportunity again to eat Haagen-Dazs ice cream at 2 o'clock in the morning and then go to bed. A whole pint trying to gain my weight.
In the bed, of course, because you can't move.
Now
then you'll
I
burn
look
the calories.
At it and gain weight.
I mean, same. So you played a sex symbol in The Color Purple, and now you're on Being Mary Jane.
But not so much as a sex symbol, I don't think. Am I?
No.
It's so hard for me to see myself as others see me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would say yes, absolutely.
I know that because when people, I had girlfriends to call me at that time of when they were reading for Color Purple, and I had been in overseas singing mm-hmm. and didn't know anything about the projects. And they were saying, Margaret, you know, if you haven't gone up for Color Purple, there's a part that's really for you. And I went and read the book. And I thought they meant Celie.
Wow.
But I gravitated. When I read it, it was like, to me, I felt shook. But I really thought they meant Celie. So that showed me that people see you differently than you see yourself.
So what is it like playing your character on Being Mary? Like, do you watch the show? Do you watch yourself, like, at home, just hanging out? is that a weird question?
I like to see what do they cut
okay.
of me.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But I think the writing in that show, Mara Akil and Salim Akil, they were just really, really wonderful. They were the creators.
Yeah.
And I think it was like probably one of the first times that we actually saw a black lead with a family and her life as opposed to just the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did a wonderful job. And, of course, Gabrielle Union, she was wonderful. Gabby, how do you do it? I can't even understand your lines. Are you talking?
Oh, my goodness. That's somebody else I think that I would just scream at if I ever met her. What is it?
Oh, she's fat.
What's it like working with her?
She's so professional. Mm. Boy, she is sharp as a cookie.
Mm-hmm.
She'd just say, okay, you guys, we got to get this set. We're running a little time now. Mm-hmm. Come on. Aww. Do we really have to do this again? You know,
Uh-oh.
She was on top of it.
How has the film industry changed over your career? Because you started off mm-hmm. little bitty sweet tender baby, mm-hmm. still a little bitty sweet tender baby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I came to Los Angeles in '68 after teaching school and was inspired by Sidney Poitier getting an Oscar for Lilies of the Field maybe mm-hmm. like 4 years before. And then it was Diane Carroll who finally mm-hmm. She had her TV show, Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, acting is my passion. I just got to go try. So when I came to Los Angeles, they were saying I couldn't get an agent. They said, we just don't get any calls for your type. They were put it nicely.
Right.
But I knew
for new people.
I knew that it had to change. And so I continued to study and do free community theater and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was theater that got me my opportunity for Magnum Force, because it was Clint Eastwood that saw me in this little community theater.
Wow.
And that opened up my my television career, because after people knew that I had, the industry knew I worked with Clint, boy, hey, it was a shoe-in.
Yeah, right.
Also, I was good. So.
Of course. But now you had like a white person, you're like, she's
but good. Even at that time, the industry wasn't ready for that transition, that cultural transition, because we had to do, people of color, we had to do our own makeup because the colors weren't right for us.
I can't imagine.
And,
oh my gosh.
And the
and hair?
And the hair, I mean, the poor little white hairdressers, they look at our hair and you try, you could hear that internal scream.
Yes.
So we'd have to do our own hair, and then, you know, the wigs at that time weren't the quality that they are now. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hey, I see you.
And so it was hard because the unions didn't have people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I could, what I understood, someone told me that when they, if you go and got your license for hair, the people that you worked on were white. So black hairdressers knew how to do white hair,
exactly.
But it wasn't the reverse. So I just want people to know it's so nice now to have the right colors, and you're not going to get on the camera looking ashy.
Right.
Or like you just seen a ghost, you know. Or, you know, black people, we change colors.
We do. We absolutely do.
So, I mean, so much has changed now. And then, you, of course, now you see people of color behind the camera and writers now. I mean, it's all different.
Yeah.
But I'm still looking for work, you know.
Hey, Stephen, Ava, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure you're listening.
But it's wonderful. And women. Women are doing it now, and this is wonderful.
All right, so this is one of my favorite parts of making the series. I get to ask you just random questions, quick, rapid fire. You ready?
Okay.
Okay, let's go. Can you do any celebrity impressions?
I don't know nothing about breaking babies. Oh! Or wait a minute, wait.
Butterfly Queen.
No. Da 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 da. Those were the days.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it.
She's no longer with us.
Oh, rest her soul. Dominoes or spades?
Not dominoes. Spades.
Okay. So you're at a function. Family reunion, there's a Soul Train line.
Family reunion?
At a family reunion, okay. And there's a Soul Train line. And it's your turn to go down the Soul Train line. Mm-hmm. What dance are you doing down the Soul Train line?
Anything that's shaking the booty.
Hey! a little twerk. What's up? I'm not mad.
Shake the booty always works.
Yes, indeed. Also, it's restorative. I feel like when I'm feeling sad, just go home, put on some Beyonce and just...
Absolutely.
Who was your first celebrity crush?
Victor Mature.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
You wouldn't be. But you said my first.
I did.
And I was a little girl, and I just thought he was so beautiful with his coal black hair. Yeah, and he was just so beautiful.
I gotta do a Google on that one. Okay.
M-A-T-U-R-E, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, I shall.
You asked me, I told you.
I did. One more question. Who is your current celebrity crush?
Oh, God. There's so many of them. Ooh, they're young, too.
Oh, girl, this is where we should have started.
Oh,
okay,
my God. I don't know their names, but some of them have accents.
So we love the young tenders with accents. Okay. I am into it. I have had an absolute ball and a blast talking with you. I'm so proud of myself for being able to actually speak. This has been an absolute joy and a pleasure, and you've just made everyone's day.
Listen.
Everyone has been so, so excited to have
you
around.
It's been my pleasure.
Oh, well.
And I'm just enthralled by the little ring on your nose.
Oh, thank you. You should get one. I think you can pull it off.
I don't know. It looks like it hurts.
It didn't tickle, you know. All right. I hate to wrap it up, but we have to. But you know what, though? You know what? Me and you us never part, Marquis. You know, we still do that like all the time. Like,
That's a beautiful scene.
Oh my gosh.
And then I've had so much fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, good, good.
Thank you.
Hello, my daughters, my sons, my students, and my muses. I am Dr. Maya Angelou, and I'm here to read a poem about the passage of time and him respecting those that came before us. I call this poem The Black Mother's Handbook. It's been written down in history, be it wrong or be it right, that every black mother reads the same book from which they give their child replies. You want to go to that party? Did you clean up your room? I am not one of your little friends. Who do you think you are talking to? Oh, you really think it's funny? I am no Boo Boo the Fool. Do you have McDonald's money? Did your ass write a check for something that you cannot do? Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides, you're running up my light bill. You smell like the outside. And so, my child, I leave you with this. From one loving heart to another, there is absolutely nothing like the love of a black mother.
If you are wondering why Dr. Maya Angelou herself has returned to the earth to address you directly, it's because she heard y'all talking shit about her the other day when y'all tweeted that video of her snapping on a 14-year-old girl because she called her by her first name. Apparently, they got Wi-Fi in heaven. Jesus on the main line, and that main line is Twitter. Can I get an amen? Yay, man.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Maya her views on interracial relationships.
Oh, thank you. And first, I'm Miss Angelou.
Miss Angelou.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not Maya. I'm 62 years old. I have lived so long and tried so hard that a young woman like you or any other has no license to come up to me and call me by my first name.
Okay, so here are my thoughts. Here are my feels on this as an old millennial. I can see both sides of the argument, right? Because I was raised by a woman like Maya Angelou. Like, was her tone harsh? Was Dr. Angelou's tone harsh? Sure, absolutely. Did it shock me? No, I've heard it before. Was the girl wrong for not putting some respect on her name? Absolutely. However, this is just a generational difference, y'all. Time moves on, things change and evolve, words take on different meanings, but you know what? Two things that never, ever, ever change are, number one, the amazingness of black mothers, and number two, the phrases that they use to keep us in line. We've already talked about this, but I can't wait to ask anybody's child. It ain't gonna be my child, but somebody's child if they have McDonald's money. I can't wait. And so, as such, Black Mother Lingo, these flowers are for you. And we have flowers for Dr. Angelou, who again had to come all the way back down here to get y'all together. Like she ain't got nothing else to do. Damn it. Get out of my house. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week, y'all. I have to give it up to the amazing Miss Margaret Avery for absolutely making my day, and hopefully we made yours too. You can follow her on Instagram at Margaret Shug Avery, which I just think is the most beautiful and perfect screen name for her.
name spelled just like it sounds. Oh, just so good and so pure. This show is produced by Strong Black Lead and Netflix with Pineapple Street Media. Our music is via DJ Don Will, the hardest working DJ in the podcast business. You can follow him on Twitter at Don Will. I have been your host, family pre-Beyonce dance captain Tracy Clayton. Ooh, I better learn how to dance. You can find me on Twitter at Broken McPoverty. Please come and say hey. Tweet me your favorite color purple quote. I'm very interested. Make sure that you follow Strong Black Lead on all of the socials at Strong Black Lead. If you enjoyed what you heard, and I'm assuming that you did, please spread the joy. Also, don't forget to rate and subscribe to Strong Black Legends on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, keep shining like Lupita's skin after a shea butter face mask, which I've never seen her immediately after one, but like, you know what it looks like. You can just see it. You can see it. Do that. Shine like that. See ya next week.